Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, telling stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character for over 50 years. Details at texancultures.utsa.edu.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. When was the last time you were able to get all dolled up and go out, see a great band, dance, have some fun, meet new people? If you've been careful about catching COVID-19, then your answer will likely be it's been too long. We all miss the nightlife, and the nightlife misses us. Clubs, local music venues, workers, and musicians are now practically an endangered species. Could legislative and regulatory assistance provide real long-term relief? Will congressional aid be enough to keep small and medium-sized venues in business? Do you or did you work in the music scene? How has the pandemic shutdown impacted you? How are you getting by? And what does the future look like from where you're sitting right now? Call in. We want to hear from you. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And you can email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at TPRSource. We're joined for this half hour by Blaine Tucker. He is the owner of San Antonio Bar and live music venue, The Mix, and the Texas Precinct Captain for the National Independence Venues Association. Blaine, welcome back to The Source. Also with us, Audrey Fix Schaefer, Communications Director for the National Independent Venues Association. Audrey Fix Schaefer, good to have you on The Source.
Well, thanks for having us.
Blaine, tell us what's happening at The Mix these days.
A whole lot of nothing. We're completely shut down, like every other music venue bar in the city right now, to ghost town. We kept all of our employees on the payroll. It's only been the last week that we've actually had to furlough everyone. And at this point, it's crickets.
What does it look like for you? What's your assessment of how the business looks?
Well, going forward, it's going to be really tough. There's really no foreseeable opening that's going to happen until 2021 at the earliest. Bars might open up sooner, but in terms of live music, it's not looking good. And without some kind of federal support or assistance, we could be looking at an in-mass shuttering of businesses across the board, permanently closing.
And what are you hearing from your fellow club owners?
It's the same distress pattern. I think that it's just a matter of urgency and desperation. I think there's a lot of concern across the board, and that's the general feeling. There's urgent crisis for some owners, and then, there are some that are able to kind of kick the can down the road a little bit, but a lot of dismay and distress is the overall theme in the industry.
Audrey Fix Schaefer, Communications Director for the National Independent Venue Association. What Blaine is telling us about his bar and others in San Antonio, this is happening across the country?
It absolutely is. We're all dealing with the same situation, even though it's different a little bit jurisdiction by jurisdiction. Live music venues were the first things to close when the pandemic hit, and it's clear we'll be the last to reopen one day. And where it has hit music venues like and gathering places like Blaine's and the ones that I work with and so many others is that we have zero revenue, we have enormous overhead, and no way to survive this if we don't get federal assistance. And we did a survey of NEPA members a couple months ago and found that if the shutdown lasts 6 months or longer, and we're 4 months in now, and there's no federal assistance, that 90% said that they would be folding forever. And this is a group of people like Blaine who have always been able to make it on their own, that they're small business people, they're entrepreneurs that are not just gathering places, but a spot for the community to know to count on being there, and also adding to the tax base and the nightlife around it. So when someone goes to see music, they're going to go for dinner some other place. They're going to have a drink another spot. And so we all trigger revenue for area businesses. But if we are completely shuttered, then it's not just our buildings that will be boarded up. A lot of other buildings will be too. And I think that us explaining that to the public and asking people to go to saveourstages.com and let their legislators know that they care about these independent venues, that that is going to help us hopefully get movement on Capitol Hill. We only have 3 weeks left before Congress goes to recess. And those 3 weeks are the difference between this industry getting a lifeline or going to near total collapse. It is that dire.
There were the paycheck protection protocols, stuff that went out there, the PPPs. Is that something that was able to help clubs, Audrey?
Some got some of the PPP money. Most, I don't think, did. But tell you why it didn't work, even though it was so well-intended. It helped a lot of other businesses. But our businesses are, because they're gathering places, we had to shut, so we don't have employees. I know that Blaine was talking about how they were able to keep most of their folks on, where the venues that I'm a part of personally, sadly and heartbreakingly, we had to furlough 96% of our staff because we weren't allowed to let them in the building. And so we weren't able to take part in the PPP because that's, you need to be able to pay your employees, but we don't have them. So what we are looking for is a modification of the PPP program, and one of them, the acts that we're really hopeful about is called the Restart Act, and that would allow the PPP program to be adopted so we could use the money to cover our rent, mortgage, utilities, taxes, insurance, because all of those enormous expenses keep coming. And with no revenue, if we don't get assistance with that, it's no wonder that 90% of our members say that they can't make it. I mean, nobody could. There's no amount of ingenuity or creativity to be able to gain revenue when you can't operate.
Audrey, how big of an industry are we talking about? Do you have a dollar figure?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to measure it. There are 2,000 members that are independent promoters and venue operators across the country in every single state in Washington, D.C. that are members of NEVA. But I could tell you at the beginning of the year, it was about $9 billion in ticket loss with all the cancellations, according to Pollstar, but that's just a fraction of the loss because that's just the price of the ticket. It doesn't include your food and beverage when you're in a venue, and it doesn't include that fact that for every dollar spent at a small venue on a ticket, $12 of economic activity results for area businesses. So there are a lot of ways to calculate it, but it is it's probably about $100 billion industry.
Mm-hmm. 90% of these small businesses, these clubs, these venues are going to go dark and stay dark during this shutdown because of COVID-19. They're looking for some help from the federal government. If you're a musician, how are you dealing with this? The number is 833-877-8255. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half hour, we're going to be talking about COVID's hidden toll on workers in the food industry, agricultural industry, the people who harvest food and process meat, and why is this community so at risk. But right now, we're talking about another fringe community here among us. This is the entertainment industry, the venues, the people who play music, and the people who run bars. This is something that is just become an extinction-level event for this industry. and what's happening to the people who work there. The number to call in is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you're a musician and you have been grounded because of the shutdown, how are you getting by? Let's go to Bob on the phones. And Bob, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Would these businesses be able to open faster if everybody would wear a mask and practice social distancing and get this thing over with?
Bob, thank you for the call. Let's go to, let's go first. I've heard from Blaine in a while. Blaine Tucker with the mix. If you think people wore masks, everyone wore masks, and we got this under control faster?
I don't think it hurts, and I think that all the evidence out there suggests that it can only help. Nevertheless, I mean, even if everything were back to normal tomorrow, it would still take another 5-6 months to build tool routing, get everything kind of lined up in sync for the industry to actually recover. And that's just without even getting the consumer confidence. So I'd say the short answer is yes. I think it's a good thing for people to wear masks. It doesn't hurt anything, certainly. But in terms of the industry, I don't think that it really affects how dire things are with everything going on.
Audrey Fix-Schaefer with the National Independent Venues Association. We're talking about also things like theaters and comedy clubs, any places where people come together to enjoy entertainment, live entertainment.
Absolutely. Any place where you're shoulder to shoulder, elbow to elbow with people. And that is the social distancing is extremely challenging, whether it's a movie theater, a live theater, comedy clubs. We all are in the midst of the same challenge of not being able to open or open to full capacity and not having the revenues that we can cover our fixed overhead. There's no way to calibrate for this, meaning, you know, so many folks have been able to withstand all sorts of recessions and 9/11 and the mortgage crisis because they're good, smart business people that are able to think on their feet and change the way they do business. This is something that's just a shutdown. Like, how I compare it is to the concept of eminent domain where for the public good, the government comes in and they have to put a highway through your yard. So they take your property and then they pay you fair market value. Well, we're enduring something that is akin to that type of eminent domain where for the public good, they've shut us down for the health and safety of everyone, which we completely understand. But they're leaving us out on a limb to figure it out on our own, how we could possibly survive. And it's not survivable on our own. That's why we're asking for help. So the question about wearing a mask, I would say that, you know, that's something that it just seems logical that for the health and safety of everybody and their neighbors, will it speed? How quickly things open. I don't have a crystal ball, but like my grandmother would say, it couldn't hurt.
Let's go to Kevin on the phones. Kevin, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me. My comment is that I'm a musician who's been hurt by this. I'm also a liberal Democrat, but I don't think this is the responsibility of the taxpayers to keep this alive. I mean, this is an industry that just is going to have to kind of ride the storm and kind of bounce back after everything happens. It's very unfortunate, but I think the government needs to focus on the necessities in our lives and not. I mean, this is not a necessity. It's just it's a performance venue, and we don't have to have it. It's really sad, and I'm sad about it. But I've moved to online teaching. And doing a few other things, writing music and stuff, just to try to, you know, weather this storm. But I don't think it's a responsibility of the taxpayers to fund this.
All right, Audrey Fix-Schaefer, you can talk about that.
Yeah. Well, first, I'm sorry you've been harmed by the result of this with your as an artist and a musician. And I hear what you're saying. However, as I was just talking about that, the government has taken our businesses and they've helped so many other businesses, but this is just one area that when we are completely shut down, we have enormous overhead and no clear time frame for reopening. It is like the eminent domain where there is
sure.
some responsibility.
That argument, we've heard that argument and we get that. So let me just ask you this, though, to refine the question. So we have an economic crisis on our hands. Can spending some money now to help these businesses just sort of weather the storm right now be prudent, makes economic sense down the road?
Absolutely. And that's where I was going to just gear to is that, as we said before, that for every dollar spent at a small music venue, $12 is spent at area businesses. So if you let these entrepreneurs fail through no fault of their own, and there are boarded up buildings on your street and in your town, that is likely going to spread. And if the investment now, we've never had our hand out before, and we've managed in the past, we could be part of the economic renewal once the economy does open up again and when it is safe to be able to gather. But if these folks are allowed to drown in it, then mm-hmm. they won't. And I should say that, you know, so many of the large corporations have been receiving assistance and that they have stockholders to rely on. Most of the people who have their small venues that have invested in the community, they have personal guarantees on their loans, and they've done it because they believe in their business and they've always been able to make their bills and contribute and hire people and to make revenue for their towns with the tax base.
Okay, I want to get to another caller. We're short on time, so I'm going to get Sarah on this conversation. Sarah, thanks for calling in, and Sarah, you're on the air.
Hello, thank you so much. Having been in the theater, and I've seen some national stories on ways that they're trying to reimagine theaters, I also think of the comedy clubs, the musicians, just the arts in general. How are the communities, not just within San Antonio, but across the nation, banding together to come up with new ideas, new ways of presenting things, and not only that, but how they can incorporate in and help with other aspects of the community and maybe create a more united front across. And I'm curious what ideas are being brought forward.
Okay, thank you for the question, Sarah. So Blaine Tucker, owner of The Mix, people are talking about more outside type of venues or even drive-ins or having areas marked off where you're not allowed to get maintain social distance. Is that something that's being considered?
It's been considered. It's not financially viable. I mean, when you think about our business model as an industry, it's getting a bunch of people together, which is antithetical to public health right now. That's actually considered a public health crisis. So, yeah, there's things like live streaming and, you know, certain social distancing that you know, can go into place. But if you have a capacity, for example, that's 1,000 people and you can only have it at 50%, you have to remember that your break-even point for most promoters is 75%, 80% of tickets sold. So you're losing money no matter what, putting it into that kind of space. It would take a whole top-down, reimagined scenario that would go beyond live music venues. You would have to get talent agents, managers, artists, everybody to sort of recreate the revenue models themselves in order for it to be viable for venues, theaters, and any kind of space that hosts these types of events.
And Audrey Fix Schaefer?
Yeah, it's I would just say exactly what Blaine said, that if there was a creative way to be able to adapt the business model and make a go of it, these folks could do it right now. That's just, we can't envision it. It's like if we have a 25% capacity that we're able to fill, our rent doesn't go to 25%, and the cost of the artist doesn't go to 25%. So that it would end up costing more money than being empty most of the time, unfortunately.
To the what's happening with musicians? Musicians, many of them don't have health insurance. Many of them are stranded right now. Like a lot of the workers who depend upon live music venue clubs. Audrey, what's happening to them?
I think it varies depending on the band and the act, and I'm not an expert at that. I know that we have, one of the things that we're doing when we're lobbying Capitol Hill is to ask for unemployment insurance for 1099 workers, which is the classification for artists when they come through to us. So we're hoping that they can be a part of whatever unemployment financial gain that is happening on Capitol Hill, but I really don't know.
And give me an update. I know the clock, as you mentioned, the clock is ticking in Washington, D.C., and there's a lot going on right now with the legislature. Is the Restart Act up in the priority column for them?
Well, what's going to happen, from what I'm told, is Mitch McConnell is going to roll out his bill and present it by the end of this week, and then all the legislators roll up their sleeves and start negotiating. And it is our hope that the key pieces within the Restart Act get accepted in some fashion or another, and that they have the act turn into law by the time they leave for August recess. That is our hope against hope.
One of the things yeah. that Trump's pushing for is a payroll tax cut. Would that help people in this industry, Blaine? Or Audrey?
I was just going to say, I'm sorry to pop in on that, but our people aren't getting paychecks. You have to be employed to benefit from that. And 95% of our employees, at least so many of them, are furloughed. So that would not be a boon. No.
So Blaine, explain for us. So this is not an industry that can just be put on ice, can go into hibernation. And then when the good times come out again, we can go back to having clubs and music again, right?
No, that's correct. And I would just say that, you know, Kevin, who is advocating for allowing the industry to kind of die, what you're really saying, if you look at a study out of the governor's office through the Texas Music Office, live music every year brings in about over $390 million in tax revenue for the state of Texas, employs over 200,000 people. So when you talk about letting entertainment die, you're talking about taking a big chunk out of the economy, livelihood of people, and the economic impact that it has.
All right, Blaine Tucker is the owner of the San Antonio Bar and Live Music Venue, The Mix. He's a Texas Precinct Captain for the National Independence Venues Association. Audrey Fix Schaefer is Communications Director for the National Independent Venues Association. They're working hard for the passage of the Restart Act, which would help entertainment venues weather the COVID-19 shutdown. When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking about COVID's hidden toll on immigrants, undocumented workers, people in our agricultural industry. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.